The Big Tasty is back at McDonald's, but now it's a double. It's the beefiest Big Tasty of all time ever. Oh, got a bit intense there. The new Double Big Tasty, now at McDonald's. Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
You feel that frost in the air, that cold wind blowing. That means that you are once again listening to Blood of the Wild, a playthrough of the Quest for the Frozen Flame Pathfinder Adventure Path from Paizo Publishing. I am your Game Master, Jared Logan. We had our first session. We're ready to jump back in with another one, and I have an incredible cast of Shakespearean-trained actors.
Correct.
All of these actors were former members of the Royal Shakespeare Company alongside Sir Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen. Please welcome Paula Deming, Joe O'Brien, Mary Lou, and Skid Maurer. What's up, guys?
Yes. Yes. I am actually
1 degree away from Patrick Stewart because... Yeah, I'd say 1 degree.
How?
Well, I took a Shakespeare class taught by Armin Shimerman, who you may know as Quark from Deep Space Nine, who, of course, knows Patrick Stewart from all the Star Trek conventions.
That's amazing.
That is
1 degree.
So, fantastic. That's my name drop character for actor.
Quark's pretty good, too.
Wonderful. Yeah. He's a wonderful teacher, yeah.
Oh, he was in Seinfeld. He's in Buffy.
Yeah. Buffy, awesome. Yeah. The mayor, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Principal, like that. Yeah. That's the principal. The mayor came later.
Mm-hmm. Wow, cool.
I'm definitely going to base one of the NPCs in Quest for the Frozen Flame off of Armin Shimerman.
Okay. All right,
I think you can get him to come on.
And if you guys can figure out which one, I'm going to give you $25.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that amount is worth, that hourly rate is worth the effort it's going to take.
Don't
consider it.
I mean, that's like a nice lunch, maybe.
I'm going to do it. You know what? Good point. Yeah.
Do you want us to say it as soon as we know? Just like interrupt, like, this is Armin. This is Armin Shimerman.
Yes.
Or do you want to like check in every once in a while?
I think just yelling it out every time you meet an NPC is probably a good policy.
Great.
Is
no
it
problem.
Pecano?
Pecano is actually not based off of Armin Shimerman.
He seems physically like Armin Shimerman, the way you described him.
Right.
I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, Pecano is based off of Christian Slater, of course. Okay.
Love that.
That was my second guess.
Love that.
No,
around
please
like
don't
Cuffs
think...
era Christian Slater. That was my guess.
Please don't think of Cuffs when you think of Pecano. That was just a joke.
Like, okay.
Pecano's like a really buff Timothée Chalamet, I feel like.
Oh.
You know, if we wanted to make a reference for the youths who might be listening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Picturing it.
But like a buff, because he's super skinny.
And Yelka is a total Zendaya.
Yeah, but with white hair.
But with white hair, yeah, that's actually...
I love it.
Oh, is that true? Did I get that right?
Yeah, but give her white hair and blue eyes. Yeah, awesome. I'm here for it.
This is the game people play sometimes, and I'm never really able to answer this when I am playing in a game and I have a character, but I've had GMs go... What actor would play your character?
Mm.
Mary Lou, do you know what actor would play Raga?
Yeah. Anna Taylor-Joy would play Raga.
I love her.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anna Taylor-Joy, definitely.
Oh, I love her. She's having a moment right now.
Yeah, she is.
She's having a full moment. And Baba would be played by a polar bear.
Yes.
Like good. A real one or a CGI bear?
CGI or trained?
Trained polar bear.
Okay, that's easy for movies to you know, just train a polar bear. That's What about you, Joe O'Brien? Is AWOL have do you have an actor in mind?
I'm sorry, on advice of legal counsel, I no longer attach actors to my fictional characters that we publish and put out there.
Well, we used to do this as a matter of course.
This used to be all we did in our home games. We all did this. So we brought it to the network, and then we got in trouble.
Did you get sued by Timothy Chalamet?
So, Mary Lou, you're out. I'm out.
Oh, sorry to say. Been fun, you guys. Tough but fair.
If Zendaya or Anya Taylor-Joy are listening, this is parody. You can't sue us because we are parodying you.
That's
and
great.
By the way, comedy is legal on Twitter.com again, so step off.
Thank goodness.
Isn't that incredible?
I will just put it out. Really, it's just that I've put it out of my mind for so long, like for so many years now, that I do try to just think of them more in terms of kind of artwork and my own sort of image of them. And so, yeah, I haven't thought of anybody. But if I think of somebody personality-wise that sort of gets it across, I will let you know.
Now, Skid, I know that you think of your characters in terms of historical presidents of the United States.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Which one does Olog
This guy
represent?
Taft?
What would Olog be president-wise?
Garfield. Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
100%.
President Andrew Garfield.
Uh-huh. Which means that your character is going to get shot in a train station.
That's right.
That's great.
Was that Garfield? Well, Garfield was shot... I know.
Shot by Charles
McKinley was
Gatto.
Shot at the train station, right?
McKinley was shot at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York.
Ah, that was Buffalo, right. Okay.
Oh, we have a presidential assassination aficionado.
Yes, I find assassination fascinating. And I can tell you that our friend Garfield was shot on a train station by Charles Gatto and then lived an entire summer with a bullet in his body because the doctors couldn't get it out.
Yes, they were digging around with dirty fingers into the wound.
Dirty, nasty, and that's why germ theory became popularized, because we killed the president with germs.
All we had to do was kill maybe our smartest president.
Oh,
I think he was probably the most raw intelligence of any president. Also, our first baseball fan in office. He was ambidextrous.
Crucial.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a really fit guy, Garfield, but you know, when you have a bullet in you, it makes you kind of not feel well for a while.
Saps your strength a bit.
That'll get you every time.
Hard to keep up the workout regimen.
And that's the kind of medical technology available in the realm of the Mammoth Lords.
Oh,
luckily, there are also healing spells and magical things like that. Speaking of the realm of the Mammoth Lords, go ahead, Mary Lou.
I just wanted to make sure that Taft is the one that got stuck in a bathtub, right?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay,
cool. I need to go back to history class, clearly.
Yeah. Our second heaviest president.
Jared, you were saying?
If you want to learn more, Paula, there's this great book called America's Fattest Presidents. And it ranks all of the presidents according to girth.
I have to look that up.
There's a helpful size chart on the inside front cover.
It's a fantastic resource for RPGers.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I use it every time I run a game. Okay, are we ready to journey to the realm of the Mammoth Lords?
Yes.
Oh, baby! Then listen and hear the wind blowing across the tundra, and listen as I say...
Do you know what you want for Christmas?
A cute toy.
No, I just want my family back.
That's what I want for Christmas.
We'll see what Santa can do, okay?
It's Christmas, so be of good cheer.
Merry Christmas.
'Tis the season to watch telly on Channel 4. Stream now.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale. Paranormal mysteries of liminal London and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, was the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
The other lords say our days are numbered, our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless Arctic night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. The snow blinds our eyes, and yet we see true. The wind freezes our skin, and yet we endure. Their weapons break our bones, and yet we stand tall. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. Mary Lou, mammoths. Mammoths. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild, and we return to a grove out in the wilds of the realm of the Mammoth Lords, and we pick up right where we left off in our last session. The band of scouts in training, including our player characters, Raga, Awol, Yelka, and Olog, they tracked a moose to a clearing with the help of their fellow scout Picano and their teacher, Weepa. They were trying to figure out how to kill the moose cleanly to kind of get advantage on the moose in some way. Advantage with a little A. I don't think I'm playing D&D 5e, everybody. To kind of figure out a way to kind of kill it cleanly with the least amount of fuss. Unfortunately, Awol failed at his avoid notice check as he was creeping around to cut off one of the moose's exits. He alerted the moose. Everybody had to run out and try to take it down as quickly as they could. The moose trampled our party at least once before Picano and Olog, the massive orc, were able to take the moose down. You were reprimanded by Weepa for your very clumsy takedown of the moose. And now she is showing you how to butcher the moose, how to remove the hide, how to separate the different bones and get the meat cleanly off of the carcass. Who would like to help with this task?
Raga, for sure. She's a druid. She has grown up always using every part of every animal that she's ever killed and only ever killed for food. So she trots along to help Weepa break down the moose. But before she goes, she pats Awol on the shoulder and she says, "I thought that was really fun, so... thank you for making it more exciting. Isn't this great?" And then she sort of skips along to and pulls out her knife to start chopping up this moose efficiently.
She's so bubbly and has a large knife and begins digging into the carcass, blood trickling over her fingers. Is anybody else going to assist?
Yelka's going to kind of stand off to the side. She comes just out of the brush here, and she keeps a little bit of distance because around her is a swirling storm of wind. It emanates about 5 feet around her with little cracklings of electricity occasionally going through it. And so she will wait it with some distance and see if Weepa gives her a look or a nod to say it's okay for you to come close and help, or hey, maybe you stay back. So she's kind of waiting for a signal while Weepa surging sees around you.
Weepa sees you, and she sees electricity surging around you. Is that what she sees?
It's like a wind, gusts of wind, 5 feet around me with the kind of occasional crackling of like almost like static charges in the air.
Weepa looks at you and sees the charges kind of crackling around you, and there is kind of a look of fear and concern on her face. And she turns back to her work.
Yelka will just lower her head and watch.
from where she's at.
Yelka, this is part of your oracle's curse, right?
Yes.
So as a Tempest oracle, when you use your focus spell, which you did in the encounter.
Right.
A small localized static storm forms around you. When does it go away?
I believe, rest for 8 hours before my minor curse resets itself.
When you get your focus point back,
it will reset. So basically this aura of wind will put out small non-magical fires if they are brought into my aura, and I am currently weak to electricity. I'm basically like a little lightning rod at the moment.
I think that the other members of the following are a bit suspicious and afraid of you when this comes over you. And so
that makes sense.
Weepa, who is a good teacher, doesn't mention it and doesn't beckon you to come closer. She lets you keep your distance.
Right.
Pecano immediately tries to start prying the antlers from the moose to take as a trophy. And Weepa slaps his hand and is like, Pecano, pay attention. Fine, as long as the trophy goes to me. These antlers will be used in a way the following decides is best fit.
Raga goes, and if we're just being accurate, I'm pretty sure actually Olag was the one to take down the final hit of the moose. So I just, no one gets them, but it would have been Olag anyway, Fakano.
So Olag doesn't hear this. Because even though he would certainly appreciate it if he did, because he felt chastised by that, the saying that's like, you didn't do it cleanly, because when he got overexcited and he was thrilled about the challenge of killing this thing with his bare hands, when knowing that if he had used his axe, it could have been much quicker and cleaner. So he's sulking and he steps away to go pick up his axe. He's like away from the group right now.
Ewol also feeling like a combination of not only just the failure of fouling up his approach, which is one thing, and he was reprimanded for that, and he was like, it won't happen again, and he's pretty confident it won't. But when she went on to say that it was an ugly kill, he blames himself largely for it, because if he hadn't spooked the moose to run in a way that created panic among everyone else, the moose wouldn't, you know, have suffered so much. So he walks up, and he begins to take direction from Weepa on the cutting and everything, and he pulls out his blade. The one thing that he is going to do, and maybe this is sort of secret, I don't know if this would be part of it, but one thing he wants to do is he's got a small leather skin that is designed, that isn't a water skin, but it could hold water, and he wants to take some of the moose's blood while it's hot and fresh, and he puts it kind of in this small leather skin. Is that something that he can do?
He can do that, and you may now add to your inventory a water skin full of hot moose blood.
Is this something we've seen?
This is why we play the game.
Is this something we've seen Ewol do before?
Well, I mean, I just don't... I think this is the first time we've ever hunted big game together before, right? Like, we're just learning to hunt. I think that maybe... I imagine that Ewol has hit his fair share of rabbits and squirrels with a rock from his sling, right? But he's never been on a hunt like this for a creature of this size.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever gone out against anything this dangerous, that presented this much danger to us.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyone who is remaining attentive, so perhaps not Olag, although you can certainly change your decision after hearing this, Olag. Anybody who's remaining attentive automatically earns a new skill feat. Weepa teaches you the ways of slaughtering your hunted animal, you can gain the All of the Animal skill feat, a first level skill feat. You must be trained in survival to take it. I believe everyone is, if I remember character creation well. It says, you know how to make the best and most efficient use of a hunted animal's carcass. Choose a large or larger corpse of an animal that died within the past day. While using survival to subsist near the carcass, you always receive enough food for yourself and one additional medium creature, using up the meat from the carcass to do it.
Cool.
There's a little more text there saying you can't, like, do it to multiple animals at once or whatever. But, there you go. You all can add that skill feat to your character sheet, and then you can help Weepa haul back the meat that you've gotten from the animal, and all of the bones have kind of been put onto a different cloth that she wraps up, and all of this needs to be dragged back to the following.
Okay.
She, of course, is about 9 months pregnant, so she'll need your assistance to kind of drag it. But you see that she immediately starts dragging a huge, like, burden herself.
Raga calls, Baba, come get Weepa's charge here. I do not think Baba will mind taking this from you.
Very good. She puts Weepa, it onto Baba's teacher. Back. Can Baba travel with a giant pile of meat on his back without eating it?
If I ask him very nicely.
Why don't we do... he's your companion, so
he's
you don't
companion.
Have to make any kind of check.
No,
are you
he's
asking
my brother.
Him nicely?
Yeah, I'm asking him very nicely. Baba, I know you're hungry, but we will have some of this meat when we get back to camp, and we will share it with our friends, with our new family, Baba. It is going to be so much fun.
We are definitely in a fantasy world where a small polar bear has just an entire butcher shop on his back and is just kind of walking along obediently with it.
It's either a really interesting TTRPG session or a Coca-Cola commercial.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Yelka will, I'm imagining a little bit, you know, someone's left for her, to pick up, and as everyone's kind of moved off, we'll come in and take her share and walk along behind everyone.
Very good. So you're all headed back to camp, and it's a couple hours walk, actually. You've been out here in the bush, hunting for a while. Picano takes no burden and just kind of walks off ahead of you.
Get out of here. This dude is... the worst.
Classic guy.
Because, like, if he's not, I wonder, wouldn't it be nice if he just, like, walked beside me? But I guess he won't. Because I guess I look kind of weird right now.
Well, would you like to run ahead and get near him? Would you like to run ahead and walk beside him?
But what if he shuns me?
You can certainly be worried about that and keep your distance. That would make sense for the character in my mind.
Try holding a boombox up over your head as you do it.
I will hang back for now.
Great. All right. Well, if no one has anything specific they want to do while they are traveling.
Oh, I think AWOL will just call to him. Picano! There's more. Can you help us?
He kind of stops, and you see him kind of bristle and turn back to you. And he's kind of like the big guy that, like, kind of makes anime noises. So he kind of is like,
Amazing.
He kind of stomps back. And are you pointing to, like, a burden?
Yeah. There's just, like, part of the load there that he's pointing to.
He looks you directly into the eyes and says, by all rights, that trophy belongs to me.
Well, I'm sure you could make a case for it back at the following. They probably let you have it, wouldn't they?
He grabs the burden that you were pointing to and slings it over his back very easily with one arm. It kind of gives you a look before he stomps off ahead of everybody again.
Who is carrying the antlers?
The antlers, let's say they're part of the burden that, let's say, Yelka is carrying, or maybe Olog. Actually, let's say Olog was carrying it. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes
sense.
Some of the heavier bones and things.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking on as much as he can possibly carry. Mm-hmm. Like, especially given he's definitely not happy with Pecora. What is his name?
Pecano.
Pecano. Pecano. Not Pecora. It's not Indian food. yeah, he's definitely like not happy. Like, he, this challenge, and I think, is he older than us?
No. Pecano is your age. So, and important to remind our audience that all of our player characters are 18 to, what is the youngest, do we think?
We have, I'm 16.
We're all
16? Yeah, 16.
So everyone is a
well, I'm
teenager.
11.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
But
thank
that's
you.
An orc 17.
An right. orc 17. So Pecano is 18 years old. Pecano is the same age as all of you.
Wow. I mean, that is so made. When I went into this, I was like, I'm going to make 16. And it's going to be so weird trying to be a kid around all these like adults. Everybody like, and everybody made
we're
kids.
All kids.
Yeah,
and I was amazing. The last one, and I made a kid in the same thing. Jared was like, "So everybody's about 17." Like, oh damn!
Yeah, I didn't plan it this way, but I think it is.
It works
interesting.
Great.
I think it is interesting.
So I think on the way back, once Pecano walks ahead and is kind of out of earshot, I think AWOL will walk up beside Olog. And just like look up at him as we're walking. Just be like, Olog, why didn't you use the axe?
And his skin flushes. It turns from like a dark green to an even darker green.
Aww.
And just wanted to see if I could do it.
What, with your own hands?
Yeah.
Well, you could.
I could. He looks down. He says, I did.
And he smiles at you, up at you. Like, way better than Pecano, isn't it?
And I had an idea, too. I don't know if this jibes with what you have set up, but I was thinking, like, since we are all basically the same age, like, my character came in, like, maybe we're all in the same sort of class. Like, we're all, like, mm-hmm. freshmen together or whatever. Like, whatever mm-hmm. the...
That's what I kind
system.
Of imagine it as, yeah.
Yeah, so my guy came in, like, he was, like, much younger. So when he came in and, like, joined the kind of group when he was, like, rescued, he was much smaller than all of you. And, like, the rest of you, like, we became friends, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. And you sort of, I was probably bullied, given the fact that I was an orc, like, in this tribe. And so the three of you sort of protected me, like, as mm-hmm. I was growing up. But then as I was catching up, like, I started growing bigger and bigger and bigger until I was finally able to be able to protect you.
Aww. Mm.
So, and I'm thinking, like, maybe this guy was one of the bullies that mm-hmm. was, like, picking on, right. on all of us, maybe. Like, but me, like, I'm thinking, especially. So, yeah.
I'd say that that's possible. And I'd also say that when you laugh, Olog, again, Pecano stops for a moment ahead on the trail.
I can just see the anime. It's mm-hmm. amazing.
And I think I'm still kind of intimidated by him, even though I'm probably yeah. like twice his size. I'm still
well. He's
those emotions go deep.
Yeah. You know that because he's
You're
one
young.
Of your peers. That he is an excellent warrior and an excellent,
right.
you know, at a lot of the skills that are. Prized in the following, so mm-hmm. He is the epitome of a strong young Broken Tusk warrior.
As we're walking, actually, if I may, if they're not so far ahead that they wouldn't hear me, Yelka is going to call out, "AWOL, will you come back here for a moment?"
And he looks around, and he noticed you kind of hiding in the trees. And the crackling and everything, and knew you probably wanted to be alone, and is, you know, looking back to see if that seems to be over. Is it like a temporary thing? Does it come and go, or is it like always around you?
It's all well. It's especially intense right now. It has not gone down.
Okay.
But Yelka's hoping you'll be willing to come somewhere around 5 feet of her.
Yeah, sure.
And you don't have to, obviously.
Yeah, but he is a little wary, you know, but he's going to, like, just try to not be too concerned. Because it's like, if there's one thing
maybe it happened before. You know, maybe like we were hanging out and he just like got a zap, like got zapped.
Yeah.
It's like getting tased. It's like you don't forget that.
There's the occasional strong static shock that might happen if you touch Yelka.
Right. So he will not give up any of the, that this is a concern or anything, and he's just going to fall. Yeah, he'll fall back to you.
You
all right?
You don't have to get too close. I'm okay. You know, sometimes this just happens when I use certain powers.
Well, I saw you run out and touch that great big musky beast.
I had to. It ran over all of you. I didn't know what else to do. I watched you all go down, and I had to risk it.
Well, it was very brave. When it came up on me, I had no idea how big it would be. It closed on me so fast I couldn't even move.
Yeah, in person, it was crazy, right?
It was, and, well, you see from Raga, a bit exhilarating, too. She said it was fun, and I kind of agree after a moment. I had to think about it. Had to stop shaking. Well, and he, like, you know, he's, like, looking at his hands.
I saw you took a skin of its blood. What's that for?
Oh, it's... Well, I just... and he kind of dips his head down for a moment and says, I just wanted to honor it. I felt that... well, Whipper said that it was not a clean kill, and I think it's my fault because I scared it, got it in a place where we couldn't clean it or kill it cleanly. So I took a bit, and I'll take it back to the following, and, well, I'm going to make something of it, something to... honor it and apologize. I may add a bit of my own to it as well.
Oh, wow. I think that's a really lovely idea, Ewol. And remember, we're a team. So that's what we're out here to learn to be. We all have different strengths and different things we can do. And I don't know, don't think it's your fault too much.
Oh, thanks. I should have seen it, though. It was right there when I slipped. It won't happen again. It won't happen again. So I'm not worried about it. I have an idea, that's all. I've got an idea of how to make us remember our first hunt. And you can see there's like a brightness in his eyes and he's excited.
Okay. And a shock arcs off of Yelka and hits you in the shoulder.
Oh, son of a bitch!
I'm sorry. I'll just walk slower. I'm sorry, and Yelka
right,
just
it's
immediately
right. No, it's,
smile
it's okay.
drops from her face.
It's okay, no, don't worry about it. No, it's fine. And he's just like slowly moving away.
And as you move away from her, it gets warmer. Because it's like right near her, the sun almost doesn't quite shine when she's like this.
Wow.
There's just like kind of a cold cocoon of wind surrounding her.
Oh.
You eventually arrive back at the camp, and it is as I described it briefly in our first session. There are temporary dwellings made of animal hide scattered out across the tundra in a wide kind of array. And in front of them all are little fires burning. The smell of wood smoke is very strong everywhere. And now it is getting to be dusk. And so those fires really gleam out very prominently as you approach, like a little sea of stars in front of you as you approach in the gloaming. And Weepa immediately is met by two of the Mammoth Lords who lead the following of the Broken Tusk. The first is the eldest of the following of the Broken Tusk. You see her conferring quietly with Grandfather Ewa. And Grandfather Ewa is maybe 100 years old. He's seen more seasons Whoa. Than anyone here. But of course, he is strong and he is... He is muscular, even at that age. He bears many scars, and he wears black face paint across one of his eyes, and a necklace of sharp fangs from various animals that he has bested. That is Grandfather Ewa. She's also joined in a quiet conference by Letsua. And Letsua is a full-blooded elf who joined the following long ago. One of the mammoth lords that runs the following. Letsua has long gray hair that is braided. Letsua wears a small horns from an animal that was once slaughtered by him up in his hair, tied into his hair. And he has a very dour face in between the two huge pointed ears that adorn his head. And so they are talking quietly and looking over at you, and no one is smiling or looks particularly proud.
Oh dear.
Boy.
Oh no.
Is there anyone else around? Is it just them? Are there any other people from our, like, if I just like, can I see my father anywhere?
Your father
milling around, or is it just kind of these leaders right here?
You can go to find your father. Your father is somewhere in the following. What is your father's name, or shall I tell you?
Why don't you tell me what his name is? Okay. I was just wondering if I could like catch his eye for a glimpse of encouragement, but I will not be leaving to go look for him. I'm just gonna stay with the crowd just if he's
your father. Your father Gronum isn't here right now. Your father Gronum is definitely attending to things at your little hutch, at your little tent. Right. Would you like to go and find him?
If it's appropriate for me to leave right now, yeah, I'll bounce.
I think it is, because as you are all arriving, Grandfather Ewa approaches you and smiles and says, I've heard that you had quite the hunt today.
Yes.
It was really exciting.
Krilla, very quiet.
There was a moose. Once somebody starts talking, Raga, it's kind of like a floodgate for her. So she starts to walk with Grandfather Ewa and talk his ear off. I haven't had moose for many years. It's been a long time. Back when I was with the bears, I had a little bit of moose one time, but they are hard beasts to take down. You need a lot of people and a lot of hard work, and we will have many meats for the Night of the Green Moon.
Yes, yes, we will all have a little moose for the Night of the Green Moon. We'll have enough. We'll have enough. Well, I'd like for all of you to meet me back here in the morning when the day dawns. Bright and early.
All of us?
Yes. I have some tasks for you.
Oh, I love tasks.
Yelka just assumes that these are going to be menial tasks that are meant as like lessons to be learned or like punishments, like you gotta peel the potatoes now because you did a bad job. So she's just like, oh man.
Yeah, I think that Awol thinks the same thing. He's distracted and he's like, sure, I'll be there for that.
Pecano says, Grandfather Ewa, it was my blow that felled the moose at the end of a hunt. I feel it is my due to be given the antlers as trophy.
Grandfather Ewa kind of narrows his eyes for a second, and you can just barely hear like an escape of breath from his... Then he turns and says, if it means that much to you, Pecano, the antlers are yours. Thank you, Grandfather. Pecano marches up, pulls the antlers from Olog's burden. I will see you tomorrow at the dawn. Ha-ha! And he holds the antlers above his head and walks off into the encampment. Ha-ha-ha-ha! Showing off his prize.
Olog is shamed again. Like, it's everything he could do. He wanted to grab them and challenge him right then, but he was too afraid to do it. He just let him walk away.
Why
and again, he's like
something?
Flushing. He's just getting brushed. It's just like,
Raga,
and he just shakes his head.
R- Raga comes up to Olag, puts a hand on his shoulder, and says, I am very confused because I'm pretty sure I already told him that it was not his blow, it was yours. Did he not hear me? Does he have trouble hearing?
And Olag like looks down at you and he says like,
it's all right. I didn't want them anyway.
Oh, well, I guess that's all right, but you deserve them. It was your blow.
And he's just, his red eyes like start to glow as he's like narrowing at him walking away. And he's like,
thank you.
Grandfather Awa looks at you. He's overheard a little bit of your conversation. He says, Olag, I mean, Pecano will learn to stop counting blows and noting who made the killing blow. If Weepa does not teach him, the Tundra will teach him. I will see you on the morrow.
Yes, Grandfather.
Yes, Grandfather.
My Grandfather!
As Yelko watches Pecano walk away, like, she knows it wasn't fair, but also he looks so strong holding those antlers up.
I love that you have a crush on this guy. That's so perfect.
It's amazing. Boy, I could change him, though. Like, if he... I could teach him how to be kinder to the rest of them. I just know that I could. It's just like the thoughts going through Yelka's head. And then she catches herself and is like, I'm going to go find my father. And she will go off to her tent.
Okay, very good. Gronum is there waiting for you. Is he a single parent?
Yes. My mother, Zanya, has... not been with us for a few years. She died. And so it is just me and my father at this time.
So Gronum is very slim. Gronum doesn't really have a lot of muscle on him. And Gronum is kind of known for being clever and cunning. But Gronum actually, instead of filling maybe a traditional role of going out and hunting big game, generally is more involved with setting snares or even foraging berries and foods by gathering. And so as you come in, he is actually removing like the hard, like kind of sharp stems from some berries that he's collected.
As I come in, the wind around me blows some of the berries and the stems off of his work surface. And Ruin's like, oh, Father, I'm sorry. It's happening again. It happened on the hunt. I had to tap into it because that moose was going to... I thought it might kill all my friends. I had to do it.
You had to?
I felt like I had to, yes.
I just want you to be careful, Yelka.
Yelka nods her head with like her bottom lip kind of protruding a little and nods her head. Says, I'll sleep it off. It will go away. I just have to rest.
Remember what would happen to your mother when she drew too much power.
I remember. I'll be careful, I promise. We took down a moose. I helped. No one out there remembers that I did, except AWOL because we talked about it, but I touched it and it went all icy and it moved more slowly and it was exciting.
Calm yourself, Yelka. And he's actually trying to stop the berries from blowing off the table and little things that he's collected are kind of blowing away because there's a little kind of cyclone surrounding you. Find peace. Breathe.
Yelka starts doing her like breathing exercises. She'll go off into kind of a corner of the house and do some. She'll go down on her knees with her hands on the top of her knees and just do some breathing and try to center and meditate and see if she can control these winds around her at all.
Very good. Then you may go ahead and regain your focus point.
Thank you.
And that means that your curse will also abate.
Oh, nice. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. So as she does this and she's breathing and then the curse, the winds start to slow, the crackling, and now you
what her father will see is that instead of all of these winds around her, it is now just again kind of the feathers of her collar fluttering only.
Yes, nods when he sees that you have regained control of yourself, and kind of grins just slightly. He loves you and goes back to his work.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds, and ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
So, meanwhile, the other members of our band are going out into their various tents. Where does AWOL go?
I want to cut to this, to another scene with AWOL where he's not in his tent, but is off, maybe nearby the following, but so like you could see the cook fires in the distance, right? Like, maybe a couple hundred feet or something like that. So he's a little distance away in, a cave that is not like a large cave, not like a cave that you could like, that multiple people could sleep in.
There's
like
a cave here?
There's a cave.
Wait, let me consult the maps from the book. Oh yeah, that cave. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a small cave that maybe one person could sort of get out of the rain from, really, but it's really not much more than that. It's really just the way a couple rocks are leaning on each other more than a cave. But we see him in there by firelight with a propped up kind of torch that's like he is stuck into the ground, and he's got some of these materials that he carries with him. He opens up this animal skin pouch, and you see this some handmade tools, one of which is kind of a brush, and you see him open the skin that the moose blood is in. And he dips his fingers into the pouch, and he puts the blood on his face and just kind of pulls it down over his eye, and then dips again and touches his blade, which he then brings to his hand, and he cuts his hand open, drawing blood from the moose blood. And he starts mixing it together. And then what we see is him with this like streak of blood down his face, taking this blood, dabbing it with this brush, and sort of we see him scraping it on the underside of this cave overhanging.
What's he creating?
He's creating a sort of a depiction of the moose, like a mural of the moose. Cool. And it's just like on hind legs, like two legs up, and it looks like really imposing, and its antlers are like oversized.
Just
like
really
large. Why don't we go ahead and do a crafting check, because you have fine art as your crafting specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you just let's just find
out how good crappy
let's
it
see
is
how, well, it's not going to be crappy, of course. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go sorry, that looks shitty, but I do want to see kind of what kind of like level of art you've created here.
Yeah. Sounds good. That is a natural one.
Oh my god. Oh,
you're joking.
So it's shitty.
I mean,
you
I am
have
just
to be joking.
I'm so bad at creating a character.
You rolled a good
natural
at anything.
Emotion here.
God. So wow. Bad.
Okay, well, there wasn't really a DC, so it's not like you can really fail. I think that what you see when you finish is something that is cruder than you envisioned it. Something that you feel doesn't capture the grandeur, the majesty of that beast, and I believe that you're disappointed. I mean, you tell me, but I think that, you know, often with art, you set out to do one thing and it ends up another way, and mm-hmm. sometimes that can be very frustrating.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that he has this image in his mind and something about the tool maybe, and maybe the consistency of the blood. He's never painted with blood before. It's not really a paint, you know, and it's not working the way that it's supposed to. It's dripping off. It's running down in areas where it's not supposed to, and it's not giving form and shape. And so it looks very kind of crude and almost childish to his mind. And yeah, he's a little disappointed in it, but less so disappointed like, oh, people won't like this. More so disappointed like he's not honoring the animal the way that he wanted to. And
right.
It's frustrating.
Understood. And so let's leave AWOL there and let's turn to Raga and her brother Baba. And what are they doing with their evening here in the encampment?
Well, Raga has not totally picked up on the fact that they did not do a good job. Raga was raised in the wilderness, in the woods, and she knows that sometimes the wild is wild, and everything can go wrong in a moment. And so she feels no shame. Yes, she would have preferred the kill to be clean. She is a druid of the animal order. She values nothing more than an animal's life. But she knew that was the situation. They worked together, and that's what happened. So she feels absolutely no shame. Though she maybe thinks that, like, why is everybody acting so weird? Everybody's acting kind of sad. I think today should be a good day full of celebration. Very strange. These people are very strange. And she sort of talks to Baba as they amble towards their tent, which I envision as more of like just a lean-to on the outskirts of camp. It's, you know, maybe a large piece of leather held up by two staves. And there are perhaps some furs and maybe some pots or pouches sort of arranged in a bit of like a nest. And she and Baba just sort of curl up and she whittles a little piece of wood as they sort of chat to each other, which is just her just prattling on and on and on as Baba is a bear.
I love that she's just happy-go-lucky whittling with her polar bear. And I think
her lean-to is decorated with lots of little whittled bears and deer and birds and such.
Yes. So you are approached by another member of the following, a very quite young girl, younger than you, named Imek.
Hello.
And you know Imek pretty well. I don't know if you're friends, but Imek, she's small and brown with dark black flowing tresses and is wearing a kind of a jumper made of hide and fur. Mm-hmm. Hello. May I pet Baba?
Of course you can. Baba likes it especially behind his left ear. There's an itchy spot there that he loves for you to get that. Go ahead.
And she's giving him a good scratch, and then she starts and Baba is responding.
You speak polar bear.
I've been practicing my polar bear, yes.
Oh, he loves it. Oh, he loves it. I have wild empathy, which means I can kind of communicate with animals, and I have a connection to Baba. So I am going to say, oh, you know what? He says he's very proud of your progress.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
How did the hunt go today?
Oh, wow. The hunt was magnificent. It was a large moose. It was stronger than other mooses I have seen before. You know, it was scared and it trampled me a little bit. And that hurt really bad. And it got Baba too, and I was scared.
It was probably scared itself and confused.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Have you ever talked to a moose?
Well, I didn't try to talk to this one. Mooses are generally very scary to me, because they are quite big. So I've only heard mooses sort of talk from a distance. I've never talked to one. And this one was too busy trying not to die, and I was trying to kill it. So I didn't have time to talk to this one. Never talked to a moose. Have you?
Yes, I've talked to many moose, yes.
Oh, wow.
They are usually very tired and easily annoyed.
Yes, I find that too.
But you may have asked them, would you please lay down and allow us to cut your throat so that we may take your meat? They're not always disagreeable. The moose may have said yes.
I think this is a wonderful idea, and I am going to take it back to my group and see that maybe for next time, we just ask the moose to die, and maybe it will.
It's a good policy going forward, regardless of whether it's a moose or not.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. I'm going to remember this.
But all of the animals, they're part of the great circle of creation. They understand.
Of course they do.
If you put it to them the right way.
Of course. I mean, I understand this very much so. But regardless, we have lots of meat for the Night of the Green Moon, and our festival will be filled with the smell of smoke and fire and delicious meats.
I'm going to go look for salamanders. And she skips off.
Hi, Emek. Have fun.
So wait, I'm sorry. Emek, can we get one more time? Another young person?
Emek is very young. Emek is...
Oh, like a child?
A child, Emek? Yes. Emek okay. is a child. Emek is... I can tell you exactly how old Emek is. But Emek is... someone who evidently also has wild empathy, you can tell, and is able to talk to animals almost as well as our resident druid. And you know that she tells lots of long stories about conversations she had with squirrels, or sometimes it's not always like the most interesting story.
Sure, I think Emek is one of my closest friends in the tribe, because I'm rather new here. I've only been with the tribe for 2 years, which is why I think I talk a little different, and I'm just a little different, a little strange. You've heard about me, but I'm really happy to be a part of the tribe.
It sounded like Emek talks a little bit like you, so maybe that's just an accent you develop when you talk to animals a lot. Anyway.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I think it is. So, but she's like 11, but not like a Olog 11. She's like a normal
human 11.
So
human
not 11. Quite a tiny
little girl. So she's not 7'4"?
Mm. No, she's not 7'4". And now I guess I would like to find out what Olog does when he is back at camp.
I never put any thought into how Olog was raised. I know, we didn't really get into his backstory, like how he came to be with the tribe and everything, but I don't know who actually raised him here in the tribe. So I was just thinking now, like maybe he was actually a sibling to either like Yelka or Awol, sort of raised by one of your families.
Hmm.
I don't know, maybe, but we can figure that out. But
well, I think that we
that
should
sounds
figure
great
it out.
To me.
And so into the tent where Yelka is with her father Gronam, walks a 7'4" orc.
Okay, so I lay down the sack of meat, and he sort of nods at his father and his sister, and he just, without saying a word, he leaves again. He just like ducks out of the tent.
Grown-up says, well, this will be a lot to prepare. You've done well.
Yeah, and he just leaves. And his whole dream was he was going to kill this creature and he was going to take its heart and eat its heart, pull it out of its body. But he was so ashamed by his apparent failure that he has to go work it off. So he has a spot where he goes. There's like a ravine just like close to the encampment with that's sort of walled by these big boulders. And there's one in particular that's taller even than Olog. And he walks up and he lays his axe, Nakami, that he lays it against another rock. And he just kind of flexes his fist. And he's still bruised, like he's still injured from this encounter with the moose. And he just starts wham, wham, like punching this gigantic boulder. Just wham with his bare fist, like over and over again. It's like wham. And there's like indentations in the stone where he's been doing this over and over and over again. And he's just sort of like working out his frustration and shame on this boulder.
Awesome. Both of my children awesome. Are forces of nature, says Gronum as he walks up to you. You and need to be at peace, Olog.
Father, and he's like, I am ashamed.
Why?
The kill was not clean. I could have used the axe.
And he looks at Nakami, sitting over there.
But I wanted to show that I am strong.
Gronum looks at the boulder, which has a huge crack in it, and says, you wanted to show that you were strong.
Yes, Olog, father.
Great hunters go out into the wild. They come back wounded, or they die and they never come back again. Men and women of great skill. You've come back alive and you've brought back meat for the entire following. You succeeded today.
And he sort of straightens up a little bit.
Thank you, Father.
And takes a last look at the boulder, grabs the axe, puts it over his shoulder, and joins him as they walk back to camp.
The next day dawns, and you are due to meet Grandfather Ewa in a circle of tents in the center of camp.
Awol will be there on time.
Picano is not. Raga, go ahead.
Raga's been there for a while. She wakes up, you know, before the sun, and she's there sitting cross-legged, sort of grooming Baba.
As we're walking over, Yelka is talking to Olog. I just don't understand why you dislike him so much. Don't you see, like, a hint of goodness somewhere within him?
Can't you see what he is?
I think I can just see what he could be.
Oh, sister.
She can fix him. Sister. Okay, I'm tapping into real 16-year-old Paula. No.
I know.
Yeah, it's for real. This is a little
You're
too real.
You're walking down a dark road, I fear.
Grandfather Ewa and Letsua walk up. Letsua is the elf. Grandfather Ewa is one of the eldest members of the following. And Grandfather Ewa approaches all of you and says, good morning, scouts. How are you now? How did this morning find you?
Much better, Grandfather Ewa.
Good. The green moon rises in 3 nights from tonight. And then its light will mark you as true broken tusks.
Wow, that is so exciting.
He smiles really wide when Raga talks. Yes, it is exciting. But there's much to do to get ready, and I'm counting on you. Can I count on you, scouts?
Yes, Grandfather.
Yes, Grandfather.
Oh, yes, Grandfather.
What would you have us do?
Letsua, what tasks do we have for our scouts?
Letsua comes forward and says, the ritual site at Rockloom must be scouted, cleared, and secured. We also need ceremonial vessels to be filled with water from the Gornok River and carried back here. And finally, we have caught sight of some giant tapirs that we wish to add to our herd.
Whoa. Awesome, awesome, and awesome.
Sounds great.
This is so phenomenal.
That's great. I love tapirs. This is amazing.
These seem like good tasks for a band of scouts. Yes, Grandfather?
Indeed, yes. Do you have any questions for us before you head out to accomplish these things?
Is there a specific order you'd like these tasks accomplished in?
No, as long as they're all done by the night of the Green Moon, we will be happy.
And when is that? Sorry, I forget. How long until the night of the Green Moon?
You are not listening, AWOL. Grandfather, sorry, AWOL just said that it will rise 3 nights from now.
Right, right.
I think perhaps Kellets have hard time hearing or something. I say to Olag, nobody uses ears or sometimes brain? I don't know.
His ears are fine. I think it is the space in between that gives him trouble.
That's it.
He points and smiles.
Yalka's
well,
looking
luckily,
around.
You don't need a lot of cunning to carry vessels of water, AWOL, says Grandfather Awa and pats him on the back.
Is Pecano coming with us?
Pecano will help you with the carrying of the water from the Gornok.
We do not need his help, Grandfather. We can do this on our own.
I'd like it if he came, though. It's always nice to have an additional number.
Pecano has many lessons to learn, as you do, so he will help you with the water.
We should not split up, should we? Or we should stay together for all these tasks?
Letsua says, no, you should stay together.
Oh,
learn from each other.
What great news.
Letsua, you said the ritual site must be cleared, scouted and cleared. Is it, are there wild animals about or are there concerns about the site itself?
If there are animals at the ritual site at Rockloom, they should be left alone unless they may pose some sort of threat to the following. The night of the Green Moon, great magic is present throughout Rockloom, and the animals know to stay away.
If there are any animals, I will ask them to leave. What are we clearing from the site then? Just the brush has gotten overgrown?
We come here once a year. Something might have changed. There could be dangerous animals living there. There could be outsiders encamped there. You are to scout, clear away any debris, or make the site look ready for our ritual.
Understood.
Outsiders? What do you mean?
You know that there are many different followings. Sometimes their paths cross ours.
Are we just to report that to you? I mean, or are we supposed to clear them out?
He's like wide-eyed, like, am I going to go out like just killing people?
You are a scout. It will be enough for you to scout the situation.
Right.
Please,
okay.
Do not engage with another following that you encounter.
Crystal clear. Understood. Thank you.
So there's bring the water, clear the site, and get the animals.
Get the giant tapirs.
Get the giant tapirs.
Raga's especially excited for the giant tapirs. She wants to do that one first. I love tapirs. They tend to be very friendly.
Quite defensive, loyal creatures. Very tapers. Great sense of smell.
Well, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even know the first thing about how to herd tapers, but he's just like, let's do this.
I am ready. I'm more ready than you.
We all just stand like, yeah, of course, wait, of course you are. You're way bigger than the rest of us.
I think I'm about the same amount of ready.
I'm ready. I'm just more ready than him.
Okay.
May be equal in readiness, but I'm more ready than you.
Look, it's not always a competition.
Well, it can be. One makes it
I'm
so.
Ready. More ready than me. Well, are you this ready?
And he gets up and he just starts walking away.
He starts running after. Wait!
And he starts running faster.
Oh, this is fun. We are running. Playfully. Come, Mama. Let us run.
Yoko
the polar bear
just
runs alongside of you, and soon you're all running through the fields, high grass, hitting your knees, a fresh wind blowing into your nostrils. It feels so good out here. The exhilaration of running along the tundra always fills your heart with gladness. Unfortunately, no one has decided where they are running to.
I love to run.
So where are you going first?
He's heading in the direction of the ritual site. Okay. That's what I'll say. That's where AWOL just started running.
I was following you.
So. All right, I guess that's where we're running to.
That's where we're going.
We're all following.
So you all head to Rockloom. And I can tell you that as you come over a shallow slope, you look up and you see on a hillside a circle of stones. The stones are very tall. There are 12 or 13 of them circling the crown of this hill. And the sun shines down through them and you see them in silhouette. And you can tell that they aren't just oblong shapes, but they are shaped in the visage of various animals.
Cool.
And perhaps you can see the animals that correspond to your houses here in the Broken Tusk. Because you are a member of which house, Yelka? Do you remember?
I've just realized I'm in the moose house. I should have probably had feelings about the moose we took down, but my particular allegiance is to the raven.
It's part
of the moose house.
Very good. So you definitely see, you know, a shape of a rock that looks kind of like a moose. It has sort of antlers coming off of it, but you're unable to see the raven from this angle. And AWOL, what house are you in?
AWOL is in Musk Ox house.
Yes, there's definitely a horned stone up ahead. And Raga, do you know what house you're in?
I am in...
Perhaps you haven't chosen one yet, and that's okay, too.
I'm in the one that's led by the singer and the storyteller.
The song.
Gakoa.
Well, yes. So I'm in Otter House.
Otter House, yes. There's one stone with like a thin, sinuous shape on top of it, and you know that to perhaps be the Otter Stone. And as you approach, you can feel great power emanating from this site. And you know that this is the ritual site because here lines of power converge. And as that electricity, that energy flows through you as you run up toward the site, we will end today's episode. And in the next episode, we will explore Rockloom and find out exactly what needs to be done to get it ready for the ritual. Surely just a little bit of brush clearing and you should be fine.
Just a little brush clearing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Easy.
Till then.
Nothing dangerous.
Till then, I will congratulate my players on bringing this world to life already. I am so excited
too,
to
Jared.
See more.
So good.
Yes. Yeah. I got emotional when you described my dad. I was like,
I know. That
dad.
Guy is the best already.
I love him. Yeah.
Grano, man, that guy's a good dude. I vouch for that dude.
And now I have a brother. So much has happened.
I have
really
a dad
excited.
And a sister. This is awesome. I did not come in expecting to get either one of those things. I'm so psyched now. This is taking shape. This is really cool.
And my paintings can only get better.
That's right.
It's only up from here.
Can only go up.
Olivia loves a challenge. It's why she lifts heavy weights and likes complicated recipes. But for booking her trip to Paris, Olivia chose the easy way with Expedia. She bundled her flight with a hotel to save more. Of course, she still climbed all 674 steps to the top of the Eiffel Tower. You were made to take the easy route. We were made to easily package your trip. Expedia, made to travel. Flight-inclusive packages are at all protected.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.